Welcome to Labor Talks, a podcast by NJASAP and for NJASAP that shares important news and information that you consume on your schedule. Labor Talks will tackle vital topics like safety, contract administration, the labor-management relationship, and how to navigate life as a NetJets pilot. And we will bring this information to you with the help of experienced union leaders, industry consultants, and subject matter experts. Whether you listen in your car, on the treadmill, or while working on tasks around your home, Labor Talks is a worthy investment of your time and attention. Join your fellow pilots and advocates as Labor Talks. Hello, NJASAP. I'm joined today with Chris Whaley and Hunter Cushing. Chris and Hunter are both new volunteers who have just completed Union 101 in Columbus, and they are both under 5 years of tenure at NetJets. So thanks for joining me here today, guys. Chris, why don't you go ahead and, you know, tell me when you started, where you're based, your fleet, and where you came from before this?
Sure. I've been with NetJets for 3 years, and I'm currently in the Phenom, and I'm living in Pittsburgh currently.
Great. And you got hired into the Phenom, or did you upgrade into the Phenom?
So I got hired into the Sovereign, and then got my bid award last year, about December, and then luckily got into the Phenom.
Very nice. So about 24, 26 month upgrade time for you. And prior to NetJets, did you have union experience?
No. So I had a couple different careers before NetJets and before flying in general, and this is actually my first union job.
Your first, you know, jet job as well?
No, this is my second jet job, actually.
And where'd you come before this? 121 or?
So it was 135, 91. We was an operation out in Pittsburgh. We had a number of beach jets. I think it was like 5 beach jets, a Hawker 800, 900, and a Latitude. But I was on the beach jet. So I did that for 3-4 years before coming here. And then the last year I was there, upgraded, and then found out that I could come here and relax a little bit more and get more experience, and here I am.
We certainly have a hefty number of departments having our back here, which is fantastic. And I imagine going from, you know, a beach jet operation to this was a relatively smooth transition. I myself came from Caravan, so it was a bit of an uphill battle for me.
Oh yeah, like the planning aspect alone, like having to do your own flight plans, international trip planning, like the fact that it's taken care of for us here is fantastic and takes a real load off of both of the pilots. So
absolutely. Hunter, what about you? How long have you been with NetJets, fleet, location?
Yeah, I'm a Chicago-based Challenger 350 FO right now. I used to work for SkyWest previously, about a year and a half over there flying CRJs. And then I came over here to fly the Challenger 350. I'm waiting on my Longitude upgrade, which will happen hopefully in a month or two.
Should happen soon. It went pretty junior this last time around.
Yes, it did, which is good for me, I guess.
That's awfully exciting. I mean, these upgrade times are just next level. We certainly can't complain, us newbies. All right. So, Chris, no union experience prior to this. Hunter?
I didn't have any union experience. SkyWest doesn't really have a union. So it's a different situation than the NetJets is. Mm-hmm. It was a learning experience for me coming into NetJets. Honestly, having Matt as my mentor helped a lot.
Matt Williams?
Yes. He was fantastic. And honestly, it's an educational process for someone like me. Like, as I said, I was not at a union shop, and now I'm in a union shop. And you're learning a lot about the job itself. Mm-hmm. Like, NetJets is a complicated job to begin with. And you're also introducing, like, hey, I'm new to the union thing. And it's
you're learning from all sides.
Yeah, you are.
And it never stops.
It is a ton of information. It's a fire hose. And so Matt was awesome. Like, he was reachable basically 24/7. Like, any question I had, even stuff that was like niche about, that didn't even have anything to do with union stuff, he was just awesome. And it made a really big impact on me, because he was so awesome at just helping out with stuff.
Yeah, I'm not even a little bit surprised to hear that. That's great.
Yeah.
So I imagine that's kind of what inspired you to volunteer for NJASAP.
Yeah, he was absolutely the reason that I that I signed up. I also want to be a mentor at some point. Right now, I'm just on the P2P committee.
Okay.
So my end goal is to be a mentor because, like I said, Matt did a great job with me. I know, as someone who came from a non-union environment, I know how difficult it is to start here. And I really want to make sure that the new guys that are coming into NJSAP and NetJets have a really good mentor. So
yeah.
I mean, navigating through all the intricacies that we have here at NetJets, like even from different operators, like it's a lot to grasp, and having those mentors really helps navigate you through, like, this is where to go to find this. This is where you go to look at travel. You have an issue, go here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it helps out a lot.
Absolutely. Especially since day one, you know, you come to Columbus, you're on property at Bridgeway for Indoc, and it's all coming at you so mm-hmm. fast. And there's no way you are retaining all of that information. And I don't know about you guys, it only took me a month from initial training to IOE, which mm-hmm. isn't bad. But for some people, it's taking quite a bit of time.
Yeah.
And it's hard to stay sharp. So reaching out to that mentor is such an excellent tool.
We had I had an SIC actually that went through and got everything. And then with our backlog that we just finished up, when I was with the recurrent, he was my SIC. So it was like, he came in and he was forthcoming. He was like, hey, look, I haven't touched an airplane in 6 months. It's like, okay. And we worked through it. I mean, we sat in the ground trainer for, I think, 2 hours one night, going over flows, going over call outs, just kind of refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely helped. But I mean, there's that level of just the difference between sitting for a month and sitting for 6 months. Like, it's out there.
Absolutely. Chris, you are on our tech committee.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I started off last year helping out with the pickets. So getting donations set up and collecting them and putting them out and just kind of coordinating between
everyone. You were the points guru.
I was that guy. Yeah, that was me.
I do not envy that job, but that was incredibly helpful.
It was something else. And it was a very eye-opening learning experience. And I'm glad I had the experience. And now being on the technology side, it's kind of opened my eyes to Office and spreadsheets more, which, right. You know, is fun. All kidding aside, I do enjoy doing that, which is why I'm here.
So. Mm-hmm. And Hunter, you said you're on P2P, which is our peer-to-peer committee. When did you join that?
Been on the P2P committee for about 4 months.
4 months? Have you taken a few calls?
Yeah, I've taken calls quite a few times, actually, in my first 4 months. I really wanted to kind of dive right in.
That's great.
Yeah.
And why don't you explain a little bit what the peer-to-peer committee does?
Yeah, I mean, I think of it as, honestly, it's the best way. We're the eyes and ears of the union is how I think about it. So what I tell people when I make these calls is I'm like, hey, this is a really excellent way for you to provide feedback to the union because we are you guys. And you providing feedback through a PTP rep is an excellent way for us to let the leadership in the union know that. So that's kind of how I treat it. Obviously, we're given information and it's a different call for someone who's new versus someone who's older. Someone who's been doing CQs for 20 years, I'm not asking about what hotel are you staying in. But
the conversation is a bit different, I imagine.
Yes.
That's great. Yeah, I've always thought of the P2P committee as being kind of like the mini stewards. You know, they don't field as many calls as the stewards do, but they kind of, you know, they get their voices out there and they put themselves kind of in front of the membership, you know, and allow for questions and whatnot. It's an important stepping stone, I feel like, in becoming a volunteer, you know, that P2P or mentorship committee. And what about you? Any goals as a volunteer?
I just want to be a mentor in a way that is impactful to the new people who are coming on. I just think that that's what I want with that.
That's great. So 3 years, 2 years, any memorable stories from the line?
Oh, man. Well, I flew the Sovereign, so there's a lot of breaking, unfortunately. You have to take a lot of good with the bad, honestly. Like, if I was talking to someone, I mean, I know this is going out to the general membership, but the conversation always ends up being the same thing, and that's perspective. Like, being cognizant of what's happening. Like, if you break and you're in the middle of Arizona you can kind of look at it one of two ways. One way is, I'm broke in the middle of Arizona, I'm not going to make all this money. But like the other side is, you're broke in the middle of Arizona, they don't have an airline for you till tomorrow, and you've got 16 hours off. Like, go have an adventure. If the guy that you're with or girl that you're with doesn't want to go, that's okay. Like, you can go have that adventure. And I actually had that happen. We were broke out in Arizona, and the guy I was with, I think he was talking to his wife or, you know, significant other. And I was like, hey, I'm going to go out. Do you want to go out with me? Like, there's these mountains and whatnot. And he's like, no, I'm going to stay. And I was like, okay. And we had a rental car. So I took the car and went out and just went hiking. Like,
you really get out of your overnights what you put into them.
Oh, yeah. 100%. And it's, there's the exact opposite where you have 10 hours. So it's like,
yep, you got to steal the moments when you can.
Yeah.
What about you, Hunter? Any memorable moments?
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, the beauty of this job is the diversity of the mission. We really do, in some ways, the most diverse mission in aviation. I had an international tour down to South America about a year ago now. That was probably the highlight of my time here. But at the very least, I mean, I've made the most of it and I've enjoyed my time.
Good. So try to think back 3 years ago for you, Chris, 2 years ago for you, Hunter. You're just out of Indoc.
Mm.
You're excited. You're feeling limitless. This may or may not be your first jet job.
Yeah.
Or maybe this is the first job with a decent paycheck.
Yeah.
You have this company speaking at you. You have the union speaking at you. And I'm sure every third sentence you're thinking, nah, I got this. You know, fatigue, what? Never heard of it.
Oh, man.
Is there something you wish you could say to yourself immediately following Indoc? Any advice you could give yourself, your day one NetJet self?
Well, I mean, for me, just trust the process, ask questions, and kind of listen to both sides, just observe. That's what I tell people during my calls if they're new. And I think that's what Matt Williams told me, honestly, is just sit and listen, just observe and be patient and do your job, be professional. And I think that kind of advice, it bodes well as you continue in your first year. And honestly, after you get done with a year, you can observe and see, and you can form opinions after that point. Because in your first year, you don't know what you don't know, is the truth of it. So,
what about you, Chris?
Well, the first year, I'll just piggyback off of what you said. Like, you know, sitting back and observing is definitely how you gain that perspective that you don't have. And that being said, when it comes to fatiguing, if you're tired, you're tired. Like, the first time I fatigued, I was with someone that I actually enjoyed flying with, which was great in itself. And the individual was more concerned with fatiguing than I was. He was concerned about me fatiguing. And it was to that point, and I was still on probation, obviously, but it was just to that point where I was just dropped dead exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, you're on probation. Are you sure you're... I'm like, dude, I'm done. I'm like, I'm done flying. I know what tired is. This is tired.
Right.
And we pulled the trigger. And that also was the same night that mitigation went away. So we tried to mitigate first. And they called us back, said, yeah, we don't mitigate anymore. So he's like, you sure you want to do this? I was like, yep, I'm done. I was like, I'm tired. We need to sleep.
No, and honestly, that's an important mindset. I like to, when I speak at new hire dinners, I like to quell their fear of fatiguing.
Oh, yeah.
There's a horrible misconception out there that when you're in your probation year, you know, the company, you're under the microscope with the company. They're looking at your fatigues. They're looking at your sick calls. Fatiguing is a contractual right. If you are fatigued, you fatigue. You cannot safely operate an airplane, and you shouldn't be fearful of pulling that trigger, so to speak. And I know there are captains out there who brief, you know, if you're feeling fatigued, I'll fatigue for you.
Yeah.
Because it's your probation year. I was given that brief, you know, my first few months there. And the reason I don't support that is because on day 366 on property, you're not going to feel comfortable fatiguing. You're not going to know how to do it. You're not going to feel confident doing it. You're going to be a deer in headlights when it comes down to actually calling the company yourself and fatiguing. And then not only that, NetJet keeps their fatigue metrics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if your captain is calling fatigue for you, that messes with the metrics that work for all of us. That messes with our bottom line. And then additionally, you guys both know as well as I do that if one crew member fatigues, the other crew member is still good to go. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be shipped off anywhere.
Mm-hmm. I just fatigue Lester, and that was the same. Is your crew member, is your partner fatiguing as well? I was like, you done, dude? And he's like, no, I'm good for one more. I was like, all right, well, I'm done.
Right,
like,
exactly. And that's totally fine too. Everyone has different limits. But yeah, I'm in full support of calling fatigue for yourself if you are feeling fatigued.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me today. I wish you the best of luck with your NJASAP careers, so to speak. And look forward to seeing you guys on the line.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm joined by Gage McClinton and Lewis Archer, two more of our new volunteers here this week at Union 101. Guys, thanks so much for joining me. Gage, why don't you tell us how long you've been at NetJets, what fleet you're in, where you're from?
Sure. I have been at NetJets for about a year and a half. I'm in the Phenom, and I live in Dallas, Texas.
Very nice. Mighty Phenom.
That's correct. Yes.
And Lewis, what about you?
I've been here since June of 23. I'm an SIC in the Challenger 350 based in Fargo, North Dakota.
So you guys coming up on upgrade? You paying close attention to those numbers?
Hopefully so.
Yeah. You hoping to do in fleet, out of fleet?
You know, I'm not totally convinced one way or another yet.
Okay.
But I think I'll probably go with first available.
That is a really excellent mindset. I know there's a lot of people on property, a lot of our 15-year FOs who would agree with that mindset as well. I myself was fortunate enough. I did my in-fleet upgrade in the Phenom, which was fantastic. But looking forward to seeing you guys upgrade. That'll be great.
Thank you.
All right. Gage, previous job experience, where were you before Netflix?
Previously, I was a Part 141 flight instructor at Louisiana Tech University, Go Bulldogs. And I worked there for about 2.5 years. And I also got to serve in the department as the assistant chief. So I really enjoyed that. And then on the side, I did some Part 91 flying. And this is my first jet job.
Awesome. So, yes. Love to hear it. I was the same way. And that's what I was going to ask you, if this was your first jet job. How was the training experience for you here?
I would say it was a lot different than what I heard from my peers that went to regionals.
Okay.
You had to be a lot more self-sufficient and read between the lines. Mm-hmm. And it required a lot more figuring out what, you know, real life looks like on the road as compared to just, I could do Memphis all day long when I did initial. Get out on the road, it looked a little different.
Absolutely.
Training was okay. We had good instructors. My sim partner was great. So I didn't have too many complaints from initial.
And Lewis, where were you before NetJets?
Well, I started my, I guess, my professional flying career at Piedmont Airlines back in 2012. That was pre-ATP rule, so life was a little different back there in the 121 world. And I flew the Dash 8 there for a little while, and then with the ATP rule, they kind of didn't know what to do with me with my low time. I was hired there. It was like 500 hours, so I ended up going back to my alma mater, the University of North Dakota, and I worked there as a lead flight instructor. So flew the King Air a little bit there, and then worked on the faculty most recently. I was an assistant professor and assistant chair, the chief ground instructor there.
Piedmont, remind me, is that Union?
Yes, it's an ALPA carrier.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So you've been down the Union path before. Gage, this is new for you.
This is.
So initial thoughts coming into the Union world.
So I came to NetJets with a little bit of not anti-union, but indifferent to the union.
Okay.
And I would say it took me getting out into the real world to believe what union leaders told us during new hire dinner to see the truth of it all. And as, you know, obviously as time went on, started to really appreciate what the union was doing for us. Mm-hmm. So that was my initial thought was, okay, let's go sit in the office and complain. That's the union job. And then as time went on, I was like, oh, they actually do really advocate. Like there is a significant purpose behind it.
It's sometimes like 40-60 on the complaining and advocacy.
Right.
You know, it depends on the day. I mean, we're pilots, right? I think complaining's in the job title or the job description.
Of course.
And Lewis, for you, having come from an ALPA carrier, what did it mean for you joining this union?
Well, I noticed that NJSAP, at least in my experience, is a lot more involved, you know, versus when I was at Piedmont. And that might have been just because I was junior at Piedmont and obviously on probation, couldn't do a whole lot. But, mm-hmm. you know, being at NJSAP or being at NHS involved with NJSAP, they seem to be a lot more of an advocate, I would say, than what I experienced.
Good to hear.
So, yeah, it's been a great experience so far.
Mm-hmm. And as we know, you know, with NJSAP or with NetJets and NJSAP, you know, day one on property at NetJets, you are on probation for a year with NetJets, but you're not on probation with the union.
Right.
Was that the same for you with ALPA?
No.
Okay. So you had a year probation mm-hmm. with ALPA mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think our new members really realize that, right. How big it is that, not to, you know, pat ourselves on the back.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's a big thing.
So what inspired the both of you to volunteer?
Well, I've never been content with just being a pilot. You know, I feel I always...
As evidenced by your background.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I feel like I have more to offer. So, you know, union volunteerism is a great way to do that. But, you know, I also want to give back any expertise that I have. I want to give that back to the people that I work with.
That's great.
So...
And which committee are you on?
Pilots to Pilot, P2P committee.
Very nice. And have you made many calls?
Yeah, made a few calls. And I'd say the most impactful moment so far was last week, making calls down to our pilots in Asheville.
Oh, yeah.
And
seeing with the hurricane.
Right. And mm-hmm. seeing what help they needed. And, you know, there was a couple of people that were stuck out on the road and we were able to help get them at least as close as possible.
That's great.
Back home. So that meant a lot to be able to help that way.
That's really cool. Mm. And Gage, what inspired you to volunteer?
Well, my mentor, number one, because when I first came here, obviously I'm out on the road seemingly flailing, trying to find out how the heck I do this job and keep up with the pace.
Sounds about right.
And my mentor, Connor Broussard.
Mm-hmm. Great guy. I've flown with him.
Yeah. Excellent. Wonderful man. And we actually went to the same university. Go Bulldogs again. Yes. But he was a great resource. And when I came to learn that he was taking time out of his time at home being a dad mm-hmm. and also his time at work being a NetJets captain, meant a lot to me seeing what I was getting out of it and the help that I was getting. And then I wanted to get involved because after the contract passed, I was on the same page with everybody else, like, great, let's get things back to normal working order.
Mm-hmm.
And then continuing to see the decisions the company was making towards some of our senior union leadership kind of put me in a position where, well, I have skills to offer
mm-hmm.
and I would like to do what I can, kind of what you were alluding to, which is if I can offer those skills and help somebody else out, like I was helped out by the union. And the other thing is a lot of guys, when I started, they weren't plugged into the union, but also they kind of took the attitude of, well, I don't really see the value in what the union's doing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that early on. And so I think P2P is a great opportunity. Mentorship's a great opportunity to help not only guide new pilots at NetJets, but to help guide new union members.
Mm-hmm.
So that's mainly the reason I got involved.
And what would your goals be as a volunteer? If you have any at this stage?
My goal would be to be a listening ear as a P2P member and to answer questions. And when I'm on the road, I would love to be the guy that when you bump into them in the crew lounge randomly and there's a weird question about their brief, they see someone who's approachable, able to, hey, what the heck's going on with my schedule? Or, mm-hmm. you know. So that's kind of my main goal, or to be able to point them in the right direction.
Yep.
And hopefully one day, as experience grows and the need grows, mentorship would be a goal for me.
I was going to say definitely mentorship or maybe even steward one day.
Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness. Let's start with this.
And what about you, Lewis? Any volunteer goals?
Sure. So, I mean, certainly my goal is to improve, you know, the lines of our line pilots any way I can. You know, personally, I'd like to. Again, it's about sharing whatever expertise I have and whatever committee, whether it's a training committee or safety committee, I'd love to serve on something like that someday. But it's good to get my feet wet with P2P and kind of get a feel for the pilot group.
I definitely got to say the membership is lucky to have you both. So any memorable moments from your last year and a half?
It's all just a big blur.
I mean, it's funny you say that. That first year goes really fast.
Yeah.
I mean, I blinked and I'm at year three and I can't decide if it's been the longest 3 years of my life, right, or the shortest 3 years of my life.
Yeah.
But even just reflecting and saying, wow, this year's been a blur, I think is so telling.
Yeah.
And that being said, would you have any advice for your day one NetJet self?
I think for me, I would have told myself to not be afraid to ask questions, because I, especially for guys that come here with the experience level that I had, which was first jet, first big operation like this, operating in new places, not operating in North Louisiana only, we're seeing the world here. And I think raising your hand and asking questions, and then when they tell you if you are tired or you are sick, raise your hand and stop. Mm-hmm. Do that. And don't try to fly through, you know, fatigue, yep, or sickness. Because I think a lot of new guys feel the pressure just of operationally,
right,
to do something like that when it would be better for everyone involved.
Right. Just, well, and as a flight instructor, you know, you preach the tenets of the I am safe checklist, right? And it's so funny how quickly we throw that aside, you know, the second the paycheck starts looking a little bigger. But right, those, we still have to uphold those fundamental pillars of safety to protect ourselves, to protect the people we're flying, to protect the company, to protect each other. Mm-hmm. So important.
Because two, the money that you would gain by pushing through and flying as a tired CFI, well, that wasn't much of a motivator. I would just throw in the towel.
Right.
When now you're here, you could be looking at losing some serious money by saying, I can't do it today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that loss you take, the worth that you get from being safe and flying for a long time is much more worth it. So that's what I would say to my day one gauge.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Lewis? Any advice for your day one, Lewis?
Well, I would say, I mean, certainly similar things that Gage has said, but I would also say that if you are having difficulty adjusting to this pace, this lifestyle, this schedule, you know, I came from a job where I spent 7 years basically making my own schedule, being home with my kids every night. And that was a big transition for me to come to this, and just know that there's resources out there with the union, with Hawk, with NJSAP family that can help and give you the advice that you need if you find yourself kind of sitting in a hotel room trying to figure out, you know, what to do.
Right.
With this new career that you have.
Right. And that, once again, kind of goes back to, you're not on probation with the union. You know,
right,
if you feel yourself struggling, you know, get NJASAP involved sooner rather than later, because we are here for you.
Right.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for sitting down with me. I've appreciated getting to know the both of you better. And as I said before, the members are lucky to have you, and we really appreciate your volunteering.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us today on another episode of Labor Talks. If you haven't already done so, please follow NJASAP on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at NJASAP. Show your support for the union with comments, likes, and shares. If you enjoyed this episode, encourage your fellow NJASAP members to tune in, and please share recommendations for future podcast episodes with us at podcast@njasap.com. Stay tuned for our next episode, and until then, this is Labor Talks, presented by NJASAP.